Elaine, this is July the 4th, 1988. I'm going to try to put on this tape some of the things you've requested about my experiences at the Humble Company. But first, I've got to have a look at the book entitled The History of Humble Oil and Refining Company and give you a few excerpts out of that so you'll have a little background of what I'm talking about. This book is entitled History of Humble Oil and Refining Company. It's published in 1950, and it was written during a period when I was there. It only covers the history of the company down to its founding, including the founding of predecessor companies, until about 1949. And I knew the two authors of the book. One of them was up at Harvard while I was there, and the other one was especially assigned to this work. The first few chapters of the book are quite interesting in that they deal with the founders of the company and their histories and the properties they brought together to form Humble Oil and Refining Company. There were 9 founders of the company. I'll give you a list of them in a few minutes. But the first sentence of chapter 2 says, the 9 men who organized Humble Oil and Refining Company in 1917 were all directly or indirectly concerned with the Texas oil industry. Seven were oil producers averaging less than 40 years of age, who'd spent all or most of their working years in finding and producing oil. The 9 founders of the company were R.L. Blaffer, William S. Farish, Jesse Jones, a man by the name of Carlton, Walter Fondren, J.P. Goddard, Harry C. Wise, R.S. Sterling, and F.P. or Frank Sterling. They didn't just go out and establish a company. They had considerable history prior to the organization of the company, and them in general divided into two groups. The first group was known as the Blaffer and Farish Group, and they owned a bunch of producing properties in Harris County, and particularly around the Humble Field. Humble is a town north of Houston. Besides Blaffer and Farish, there was, as I indicated, R.S. Sterling, who owned a pipeline and a small oil refinery somewhere in Harris County. Walter W. Fondren, who was an oil driller, and though he was without education at all, he was a genius at drilling oil wells and very successful at finding oil in the wells that he drilled. Jesse Jones, famous otherwise in Houston history, was one of the original organizers, but he dropped out of the company because he felt the oil business was too risky. I do not know anything about the man by the name of Goddard. Harry Wise was had lived in Beaumont, where his father was a merchant, quite a successful merchant. Harry Wise had graduated from Princeton in 1909 and had a degree in engineering and had some experience in the oil business. I've mentioned R.S. Sterling, I believe, who owned the pipeline and a number of small banks. But at any rate, these are, in general, the interests that are brought together in the formation of the company. And the main credit, according to the humble history, goes to W.S. Farish. Mr. Wise is reported as saying that I attended meetings prior to the organization of the company when, except for Will Farish's leadership, vision, and determination, the idea of organizing a new company would have been abandoned. He was the man who came to the fore and called the attention of the group to the fact that the larger advantages of such an organization outweighed any differences as to details of personalities. Incidentally, Farish was a grandson, or either a grandson or a great-grandson of Jefferson Davis. He had come to Texas from Mississippi. The new company was incorporated on May 17, 1917, and the original charter was prepared by Frank Andrews of the Andrews Kurth Firm, along with this man by the name of Carlton, whom I have been unable thus far to identify. He was apparently one of the lawyers that worked with the early group of organizers. One of the first and best steps that the new company took was on March 1, 1918, to employ Wallace E. Pratt as the first geologist of the company. I and many others have often said that the Umber Company owes a great share of its success to the genius of Wallace Pratt, who as a geologist was very instrumental in helping Humboldt discover the substantial quantities of oil which it discovered in the early years. One of Mr. Pratt's daughters lived either in Tanglewood or on the edge of Tanglewood, and we got to know them fairly well. They were rather strange people, and as I say, I did not know her very well at all, but I don't know whether she was of the same quality of Mr. Pratt. I think Wallace Pratt had a rather unhappy married life. I believe the story was told that his wife walked out into the Gulf of Mexico and disappeared completely. I recall dimly, and this may not be entirely correctly, shortly after I joined the company in 1934, Mr. Towns called me into his office one day and told me about this occurrence and wanted to know whether I knew the Justice of the Peace in Galveston, whether I might be instrumental in getting anything less than a suicide verdict returned from the inquiry. I don't believe I was able to do anything about it, at least I don't remember it. I believe by that time the official verdict of suicide had been rendered. The next important step that the new Humboldt Group took was in 1919, employing first Heinz Baker and then next Rex Baker. These two persons, who of course were the ones that I had the greatest association with, had graduated from the University of Texas Law School a few years before and had established a law practice with few clients, I understand, in Beaumont. Heinz first responded to the call from Towns to come to Houston to work for the new company, and then Rex followed. Edgar Towns, is not mentioned as one of the founders of the company. Place was occupied by the man by the name of Carlton, who I've been unable to identify fully up to now. Carlton was apparently the first counsel of the company, but Carlton retired after a few years, and in about 1919, Edgar Towns became the general counsel of the company and became a member of the board.